Today's message is about all things new. Everything is about to change. Oh, come on, somebody. All things new. Everything is about to change. I'm excited because this story we want to start with, you know, is I want you to look at it as part of what we all go through. It's the story of the butterfly. The butterfly never starts as a butterfly. It starts as a caterpillar. And most times you see this caterpillar and he's crawling along the ground, but there's something inside of every caterpillar that says, I'm more than what I am. I feel like I can be bigger than what I am. I can do more than what I'm doing right now. And instead of staying on the ground, they begin to inch up the tree. And they said, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just feel I can't stay on low altitude. I've got to climb higher. Somebody say amen. Amen. And when that caterpillar begins to climb higher, it gets to a point where it says, you know, I feel like I'm stuck right here. I feel like I can't go no higher. It begins to sew a silk cloth around itself, and it covers itself and attaches itself to the tree. There are times you don't know where you're going, and you don't feel like you can go any higher, but you just got to attach yourself to God Almighty. Just nothing can blow you. If you could just wrap the word of God around your life and attach yourself to God, change will come. So the caterpillar feels this on the inside, and we begin to see this thing happening on the outside. He's covered in silk and he's standing there and he's like, I just feel like something's happening. Something, it's got to change. I can't stay where I was. I can't stay how I am. And little and behold, he starts to stretch and begin to say, I got to get out of this silk. I got to try to struggle. But what begins to happen is that the silk is keeping him tied up and wrapped up on the tree. But here's the thing about the struggle. He's struggling to get out of the silk. And all of a sudden, he feels something pop out of one side of his back. He feels something pop out of the other side of the back. And he's just trying to get free. And he's using them to push against the silk, but he can't break free. Ladies and gentlemen, he's struggling against the silk. And he's thinking, why do I have to struggle so hard? And how many in this place ever asked the question, God, why am I struggling? Why am I struggling so hard? I thought this would be easier. I thought be easy, but you didn't understand the caterpillar pushing against the silk on every side. But God knew in order for that butterfly to be ready, he's got to strengthen those wings. Somebody say amen. Amen. And in his struggle, every time he pushes against the outside of that cocoon, his wings get stronger and stronger in his struggle. And then all of a sudden, he breaks out of his struggle and begins to fly to his destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know the struggle that you go through is not made to break you. It's made to make you. Somebody say amen. God says if you're going to be all things new, you got to understand why you struggle. Why you struggle isn't to break you. It's to make you. And when you come out, you're not going to be on low altitude. You can fly to high as you want to go. Somebody say amen. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to say God is trying to make all things new. But we need to understand that there will be a struggle in our life. In fact, as we look into the Word of God, you know, there's a lot of struggles people go through, a lot of struggles the world goes through. You know, today I'm going to deal with the question, where does sickness come from? Where does disease in the world come from? Where does famine come from? Where does hurricanes come from? Where do these awesome tornadoes, where do they come from? I'm going to ask the question and look and say, hey, where do these natural disasters in the world, where do they originate from? And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to point out to you that what you believe affects what you do. Whatever we're going to teach, I need you to understand that what you believe about all this will affect what you do. If you don't believe change is going to come, you ain't going to do anything to change. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I want you to begin to think differently as we begin to answer some of these questions. There are three questions I'm going to ask to understand where all this stuff happens and why all this negative stuff happens in the world. Number one, I'm going to ask, what went wrong? Write that down, please. What went wrong? What went wrong? We're going to examine the text of scriptures to answer this question. Number two, what is the source of our sorrow? Where's all this sorrow coming from? Number three, what is the reason for my hope? At the end of the story, it's not just understanding why things went wrong, but understanding where our hope lies. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand this truth, that Jesus is all about making all things new. I mean, if you don't know him, I want you to know him, because I tell you what, whatever he touches, it becomes new. I'm telling you a truth. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. Jesus is all about making all things new. No matter what you're going through, he wants to make all things new. Here's what he says. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. The old life is gone and new life has begun. God is all about making things new. I don't care how old it feels to you, but if you want it, you can have it. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. God wants you to believe that he can make whatever you're dealing with new. Revelation 21 and 4 tells us of a promise he's going to give to all of us. It says in Revelation 24 and 5, it says, listen to me, he's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. Anybody want to just stop crying and not have to feel like you got to cry? Come on, just come on. And all my ladies, if you've ever cried before over something, let me just see you raise your hands. Come on, just tell the truth, shame the devil. Amen. Yeah. Now I want you to look at a man next to you and say, have you ever cried? Come on, tell the truth, man. Just nod your head, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. Come on. Here's what God said as a promise to you and make it a new day. He says, I will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, or crying, or pain. Hello, somebody. Yeah. You can tell Arthur you got to go. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what? Some of us know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. The ones in Arthur that resides in your fingers, in your hands, in your arthritis is what I'm talking about. Arthur, you got to go. Watch this. All things are gone forever. Look at verse 5. I want you to read it with me. Go.
And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new.
What'd he say?
Look.
Say it again.
Look, I am making everything
new. He wants you to open your eyes while he does what he does. He says, I want you to look, not just walk through life. I want you to open your eyes and understand, look, I'm making all things new. Read on. The word right there is the Greek word grave, engrave. It means I want you not just to write it down. I want you to engrave it on your heart. I want you to chip it into your mind that, hey, listen, I don't care how you feel. You can't erase that God is about to do something great for you. He's about to make all things. I want you to nail it down in your soul that no matter what you feel like right now, it's about to be new. God wants to change your situation. He will change it. Yeah. Write it on your heart. Man, I love what he says. He says, I want you to write it where? Down. For what I tell you is what? Trustworthy. I find even in his struggle, here's what he says in the upper room right before he's about to go on to glory. He says in Luke 22 and 20, he says, after the supper, he took another cup and wine and said, this is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice to you. He says, you know what? The old covenant wasn't enough. I must make all things new. When something new, it's because the old isn't enough. And so he's beginning to say, listen, I'm here to rescue you. We need to be saved. We need to be rescued. And Jesus is the one that can make all things new. So it brings me back to my question. Where does all the hurricanes and disease and tornadoes and sickness and pestilence come from in the earth? Because something's wrong. And we need something new. The earth needs something new. So the question we're going to answer first is, what went wrong? What went wrong? So to begin to answer this, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse 19 through 22. And we're going to answer the question, what went wrong? And the Bible says, for all creation, watch this, I need you to see this. All creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children. Let me break it down to you. This isn't talking about people. It says all of creation. That's the earth, the dirt, the dog, the cat. I mean, plant life. Everything in the earth is waiting for you to step up and be who God called you to be. They're waiting to see who God's children really, not just play, but really are. The earth is waiting for you to fulfill your destiny. But the earth has been struggling. Look what it says next. Against its will. Write that, underline that, please. Against its will. Whose will? All creation's will. Against all creation's will, all creation was subject to God's curse. The earth got hit with something. All the earth was hit with a curse. Watch this. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death. You see, creation is struggling under something right now. It's struggling under death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning. Now, we're going to describe what that groaning is. How can the earth, I mean, have you ever thought, I mean, you know, who teaches this, that the earth is alive? Did you ever wonder why, you know, we say, well, is there life on other planets? Well, statistically, I believe there's got to be the possibility of life on other planets. However, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't deal with statistics. He deals with his word. And out of all the planets that he made in the universe, he says, you guys out there will just be for times and seasons. But this planet, I'm going to call you to bring forth life. It's the only one designed on purpose to bring forth life. So if you ever wanted this life on other planets, let me just go ahead and settle that. No, you got enough life on this planet. Amen, somebody. Amen. You don't need no bug-eyed alien telling you what to do. No. Look what it says. All of creation is groaning, or another way to say it, the mourning. The earth is hurting, as in pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. It's like a pregnant earth saying, I just need somebody to step up. I need to release a purpose in the world. I need somebody to help me. I'm struggling. Now, the ladies and gentlemen, we need to ask the question, where is the source of this sorrow coming from? I want you to understand something about God. God, in the beginning, remember when he made everything? He made the heaven and the earth. He made the stars. He made the animals. He made the sea. He made the trees, the birds. And what did he say after he finished? It is good. When he made everything, ladies and gentlemen, it was all good. There was no sorrow. There was no disease. And he made it good. And then when he made man, it was what? Very good. He was pleased. There was no sorrow anywhere. But something went wrong. He gave man one rule. He said, you know what? You can eat out of every tree in this garden, but don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, then the day you do, you will die. You know what? Well, here's the thing about it, ladies and gentlemen. How many got kids up in here? How many of y'all ever heard this phrase? You ain't the boss of me. How many heard that phrase before? I heard it once. Oh. It's a phrase kids say to each other all the time. You ain't the boss of me. You ain't the boss of me. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, the first child ever made on earth said the same thing to God. You ain't the boss of me. I gave you a rule, and they said, well, you ain't the boss of me. I can do what I want. I want to eat the fruit. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you this. Something went wrong because you know what? Man responded, I don't have to answer. You're not the boss of me. And I want you to write this down. Man made a choice. That's where sorrow came from. Man made a choice outside of God's will. And whenever man makes a decision outside of God's will, there is sorrow. And let me make it very clear to you that when man makes a decision outside of God's will, there is always collateral damage. How many know what collateral damage is? What that means is that it just doesn't hurt you. It hurts everything around you. Because you know what? You were the focal point. The Bible says that man made a choice and man decided to make his choice outside of God. I want to show you where this truth has happened and why it affects us. Go to Romans 5 and 12. Romans 5 and 12. And I want you to read it, please. Go. 5 and 12 in just a second. There we go. Go. Yes. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, death was the disease that entered into humankind because of Adam's sin. And it was a disease that was contagious. That the moment someone else sinned, death entered into them. It was a death sentence to all of us. When anyone sins, they are infected with death. Ladies and gentlemen, his choice brought a curse to the world. His choice brought a curse to the world. Now, I'm not saying that God cursed man, but the world was affected by him. There was collateral damage. Now, Pastor Steve, that sounds crazy. You know, that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean the world was affected? What do you mean? You act like it's a living thing. You ever see a tree grow? Is it alive? Can it talk to you? Yes? Somebody say yes? Baby, no. No, baby. Trees cannot talk to you. But they are alive. Look at your neighbor and say, they're alive. There are so many things that are on this planet that will blow your mind, and it's alive. But because of man's choice, it brought a curse to the earth. And whenever men sin, there's collateral damage. And when men sin, the earth becomes affected by men's behaviors. Oh, no, Pastor Steve, you're kidding me, man. Floods, hurricanes, disasters, disease. You know, storms, that's just nature. Famine, nature. Well, let's see. I want you to turn your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Hosea chapter 4, starting at verse 1. I want to read this to you. And it starts by saying, hear the word of the Lord. Can we just stop there for a second? This isn't Steve Yates' opinion. This isn't Prophet Hosea's opinion. It starts off letting you know who's giving you the insight to the sorrows in the world. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. The Lord has brought charges against you, saying, there is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. Boy, those are a big three. I want you to think about the nations of this world. Have that, number one, have no faithfulness, no kindness, and no knowledge of God in their land. And I want you to look at the demographics and the geographics of that area. Is it thriving or is it dying? Watch this. All, watch what it says, verse 2. You make vows and what? You kill and steal and commit. There is violence everywhere. One murder. Watch what he says in verse 3. Watch this. Watch this. That is why your land is in mourning. And everyone is wasting away. Even the wild animals, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea are disappearing. Somebody say collateral damage. You go to Africa and they have all these false religions that are thriving, and you look at the land and wonder why there's a famine in the land. The earth is affected by the sins of men as it was in the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, here's my question. Is there hope for the world? Is there hope for us? Where did this come from? I want you to turn in your Bibles quickly to Genesis 3 and 17. Adam's choice brought a curse to the earth to validate what I'm saying. Genesis 3 and 17, if you would turn there. Would you read it, please? Go. Wow. The ground itself was cursed because of what man did. But I need you to remember what was said earlier. Is there hope? I want you to go back to Romans 8 and 22. Romans 8 and 22. And I want to point out something that creation, even though it's in sorrow and in mourning, here's what it says in 8 and 22. I love this verse. Romans 8 and 22 says what? Read. Now, go back to verse 21. The creation that has been affected still knows that there is hope. It is looking forward to the day. Even the earth, the plants, and everything on this earth is looking forward to the day of a new day, a change that is coming. It already knows. It's just waiting for us to rise up. The more of us on the earth, the better the earth becomes. Come on, somebody. The more righteous are born in Jesus' name, the better the earth will be. It is waiting. It has hope. Watch this. God will rescue. Write this down. All creation. Write this down. God will rescue all creation. Man, I love this. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. God will rescue all creation. Verse 21 says these words. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. Verse 21. It says, so you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Although Adam messed everything up, because the second Adam has come, Jesus Christ, he has entered into the world. He can make all things new. One brought death, the other brings life. It's a new day. Everything's about to change. Look at verse 22. This is amazing stuff. Look at it. It says, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new. I'm not always going to be struggling with this stuff, pushing against it. What you don't understand, God's going to use my struggle to give me Holy Ghost wings so I can rise to the sky. Man, we have this hope in Christ. I love God because you know what? He says, yeah, man, you messed it up. But you know what? I'm not giving one square inch of the earth over to you. I'm going to take it all back. I'm going to make all things. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 14. I'm making all things new, God said. I'm going to make it new. I'm not going to let one thing stay corrupted. I'm going to fix everything. I got your back. Write it on your heart. Trust me, I'm faithful and true. I'm going to make it new. I don't care what you went through. I don't care who you've been through. I'm making all. I don't care. Do you know God has this holy word? He goes, here's what God does when he's about to make things new. Psh. When you tell him God can, psh. That's what it says. That's in the Bible. P-S-S-S-S-T. Of course I can. God ain't going to give up a square inch. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 14. Watch this. Watch this. And if Christ has not been raised, this is the question to you. If you don't believe this, if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. And your faith. So are you from useless? What? What happened? What? 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 I didn't say it. I'm not from useless. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe God's going to do this, then your faith is in vain. Ain't no sense even getting up in the morning. Just go, hey, you know what? You can go to hell wholesale. Don't go retail. You can go to hell, go wholesale. Don't even play with it. Just psst, burn up. Pastor Steve, I'm gone. Psst, and burn up. I respect that. But if you're going to be a believer, if you're going to trust Christ, if you're going to believe he's going to make all things new, then you ought to act like it. Come on, somebody. You ought to be excited. Change is coming. Everything is about to change. I'm making all things new. Listen to what he says. I love what he says in this verse 14. He says, behold, I will create new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will you. They even come to your mind. Can you imagine the worst thing you ever been through? You don't remember no more? Oh, Lord, how that whooping your mama gave you? Woo! Lord, it's gone. It's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, there will be an end to sorrow. I want you to understand, even it was prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah 65 and 17. I want you to go there quickly. I'm running out of time. Isaiah 65 and 17, there's good news. There is hope. Look what he says. He says, look, I am creating a new heaven and a new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore. I love God when he repeats himself. Come on, somebody. You got it in the Old Testament. You got it in the New Testament. By the witness of two, every word is established. Isaiah said it. Paul said it. It is done. All things new. Look what he says. Revelation, watch this. Go to Revelation 22 and 3. I'm just going to validate there is hope, ladies and gentlemen. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, it says this craziness here. No longer will there be a curse upon anything. Man messed it up. Christ fixed it up. Let me tell you about that man. That man can fix up anything that's messed up in your life. Listen, I gave up a career. I gave up a job that was paying me good money. I'm talking more money than I make now. I'm telling you, I gave it all up. I counted it all as garbage to be able to preach this message that man can change your life. I give it all up. I give it up. I don't care about title. I don't care about cars. I want to tell you about a man. If you can get him in your life, he can make all things new. There was a time in my life when I was ugly. I couldn't resist, sorry. I did not have a Jerry curl. No longer will there be a curse on anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there. and all of his servants who worship him. I want you to imagine in your mind what this earth will look like when the curse is lifted. What will the trees look like? What will the sky smell like? What will the grass feel like? What will the water taste like? Ah, what will the scenery that will paint your landscape of your eyes? Imagine what this world would be when is removed. Here's why I know that God will do this. Here's how I know. Because God has rescued me. You know why I know this is going to happen? Because God did it to me. God rescued me. Look at Romans 8 and 24. It says this. We were given this hope when we were saved. Romans 8 and 24, we were given this hope when we were saved. I know that the moment I got saved, that I have this hope, that things will change. If you want this hope, you can have it. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you, you can get saved today. If you want the same hope to know that things are going to change, all you need to do is give your life to Jesus, and he'll change your life forever. Get saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I preach funerals. I have to do funerals. I don't like doing them, of course. But you know what? You can make it a whole lot easier on me if you just get saved before I preach your funeral. Because I can't lie as a preacher. And if I got to preach your funeral and you've been like a scallion, man, it's going to be hard for me to preach. Look at your neighbor and say, please get saved. For Pastor Steve. Amen, somebody. Watch this. He has given us a taste of this incredible future for us. Ladies and gentlemen, I say to you, the reason I know he will rescue us is because he put this hope in me. He put this hope that, man, things are going to change. If you go to Romans 8 and 23, I want you to see what it says. And it says, we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory. He's in us to give us a taste of what he's going to do. Now, I want to tell you a story about a lady by the name of Florence. She was one of these ladies who swam. It was very famous back in the 1950s. And what Florence did, she jumped into the Pacific Ocean off the Catalina Island, and was going to swim to the California coastline. She could do it because she had already swam the canal back and forward. She had already swam the canal back and forward. It's about 15 miles that way, 100 miles. She's done it before. It's not a big deal. She did it back and forward. Well, Florence jumped into the water, and that day was icy cold, and she was swimming. And everybody in the world was watching this woman. And she said, I'm going to make it to the California coast. She jumps in the water, and she begins to swim. And it began probably about 15 miles in, the weather began to change. And an overcast began to happen, and fog filled the air, and she couldn't see. So she began to just swim and swim and swim, and the boats were beside her watching her. And she got about 15 miles further and said, you know what? I can't do this. I can't. I don't think I'm going to make it. And the mother was in the boat and said, baby, you can do this just a little bit further. Just a little bit. She said, Mom, I'm going to try. And she went to swimming a little bit more. And after a while, she got tired and she began to give up. And she said, I can't do it anymore. And she was so tired, they had to pull her out of the water and bring her into the boat. And as they brought her into the boat, the sun began to rise and dispelled the fog that was on the water. And she looked up and saw she was a half a mile away from the shore. She gave up a half a mile away from the shore. At a news conference later on, they sat down and asked her what she thought. And her statement was this. You know what? If I could have just had a glimpse of the shore, I wouldn't have quit and I wouldn't have given up. Ladies and gentlemen, why would God give you a glimpse of your future? Why would God give you a glimpse of the glorious future that belongs to you? Because he doesn't want you to quit and he doesn't want you to give up. He's saying, listen, I don't care how hard it is. Don't get in the boat. There's only a little bit longer to go, but you can make it. No matter how hard this is, you can make it. Don't quit. Look at your neighbor and say, don't you dare give up. Turn the other side. Tell them the same thing. But Pastor Steve, I messed up. I messed up my marriage. There's no turning back. Don't you dare give up. Oh, but Pastor Steve, I done made a fool of myself. Don't you dare give up. Oh, but Pastor Steve, man, my money all messed up. I don't care. He will make all things new. Don't you dare give up.